Take your Bibles and turn once again to Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 through 15. I've been trying to get past this message now for 3 weeks. I may get there today. I don't know. We'll see, okay? We got nothing but time, right, till Jesus comes? And so I'm in no hurry. Joshua chapter 24, verse 14. Now therefore fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people said, amen. You may be seated. I started out with you some time ago, actually about the 13th of July. I started this little mini series before we get to the book of Romans, talking about wanting to have a closer walk with God. And I said to you back then, and I say to you again, just to remind you, that on that day that I started this, I asked that question of the people who were here, how many of you want to have a closer walk with God? And it was no surprise to me that everybody in the building said, yes, I want a closer walk with God. And if I were able to reveal to you the number of things that people come down at invitation time and pray with me or any of the staff that's down here, I would reveal to you the fact that more people than I can count on any given Sunday come to me and they say, pray for me to have a closer walk with God. So I started processing all that and thinking about that and asking God to help me to preach a series of sermons around that topic of drawing closer to God, having a closer walk with God. We started out in this segment of that series. It turned out that two or three of those sermons I've covered multiple Sundays, but I started out in this series of messages within the series talking about intentionally choosing. I want you to understand, I'll say it a number of times this morning. I want you to leave here with a good understanding. If you're going to follow after God, if you want a closer walk with God, that will have to be very intentional on your part. So I don't know about that. Well, stay with me, and I'll try to review you right quick about the things I talked about in this intentionality series. Within this series, I said, first of all, if you want to have a closer walk with God, you intentionally have to choose to have that closer walk. There are sometimes in my life I make bad decisions. There's sometimes in your life, if you think about it, you make bad decisions. The very best decision that you can ever make is to respond to the moving of the Holy Spirit in your life, leading you to come to know Christ as your Savior. And I pray today that if you don't know Jesus, that the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart today, reveal Christ to you, and today will be your day that you come to know Christ. I pray for you today that there are some in this building who are a little bit distant. You ever been distant? You've been married? You get distant sometime, can't you? Some people in this building today are very distant from God. And you say, how dare you be so accusative? No, I'm just telling you the truth of what I know to be the truth as best I can of years of experience. Many times people in the church are distant from God. If you're going to have a closer walk, and everybody, how many of you want to have a closer walk with God? Some of y'all didn't hear me, you were sleeping. I know most everybody in here would be affirming that you want to have that closer walk with God. If you're going to have that, I pointed out to you when I started this series within a series that you would intentionally have to choose to have that closer walk. That means when the Holy Spirit prompts you, you move. That means when God speaks, you obey. That means when God says, go here, you go here. If God says, go there, you go there. You intentionally choose to have that closer walk with him. And then I said last time when we met together, I kind of ended up here, and I'm going to start over now, not the whole thing. You will have to have courage, intentional courage. You'll have to suck it up, buttercup. Huh? See, I don't like that kind of talk, but I'm sorry. You'll have to suck it up, buttercup. Because in this life, you're going to discover that the world we live in is anti-God. The world we live in is anti-Christ. And let me tell you something, until Jesus comes, I wish I could tell you that something's going to happen to make it better, but the only thing I can tell you that's going to make it better in the future is Jesus Christ comes. All the problems in this world will be solved then. All the silly, ridiculous things that people are doing nowadays will be solved then, because Jesus Christ is coming again. I believe that with all my heart. So, if you're going to have this intentional walk, then you're going to have to intentionally say, I'm going to be courageous in what I do. Have you ever been scared of the dark? I never was really scared of the dark. I worked in the funeral business, most of you know, before I ever came to the ministry, and I handled dead folks then, and I still kind of handle dead folks now in the church. But one time in the funeral home, I was locking up down at the old Huntsville Funeral Home at 1215 15th Street. I was locking up down there. Vicki and I dated the whole time that we dated. I was working at the funeral home. There were always three of us on a date, me, her, and somebody in the back. Well, I was closing up down there, and I've never been scared of the dark. I've never even been scared of a lot of things. I don't like snakes, but I'm really not scared of them as long as I got a good sharp hoe in my hand. But I'm down there one night locking up that building all by myself, and there was not a single two-way switch in that entire building. It was built in 1933. And I walked through the casket selection room, where they had, at that day and time, 20, 25 caskets in there. And I'm walking across the linoleum floor that joined the carpet in there. I knew I could click my feet on that linoleum floor and make my way to the office even in the darkness. About halfway across that room, something grabbed my leg. That something turned out to be my brother, who's now in heaven. Had he given me an opportunity that night, I'd have put him in heaven a lot sooner than 2 years ago. You ever been scared of something? What you have to do is eventually, if you have fear, you got to suck it up, buttercup, and go do it. If you're going to follow God, Satan is going to be after you. He's going to bring things into your life that's going to trip you up. You're going to have intentional courage. I'm going to be strong. I'm going to do it. And you have to go forward and do what you say you're going to do. So today, in continuing about this closer walk series and some of the things that are required if we're going to have a closer walk, then I told you that intentionality was a major part of that. And today, I want to talk about intentionally walking. Intentionally walking. This matter of intentional walking is just that. It's almost like choosing to follow. It's almost like being obedient when God calls. But listen, I'm going to say this again a little bit later. Let me say it now to give you a little understanding. There's a whole lot of difference in saying you're going to do something and being all courageous about it and then really doing it. You follow? I mean, I run into a lot of people say, well, let me tell you one of my favorite ones. One of my favorite ones is that people come into the church that haven't been in the church in 6 months, 6 years, and they look at me and they say, we're back. I wish I knew what we're back meant. It didn't mean they were back for good. It didn't mean they were coming the next Sunday, because a whole bunch of those people that say we're back aren't back again yet. And I guess someday they'll come back around and say, we're back. It's one thing to know what God wants you to do and a whole other thing to do it. Those people that came to me and said that, we're back, I don't think they came just so they could tell me that and make me feel good. I don't think they did that just so they could feel good. I think they did that because God had moved in their heart to be here that day, and they really were only wanting to make a commitment to God. But if you're going to walk with God and have this closer walk with Him, you must intentionally walk. You must intentionally do. You have to choose to walk with Him, and then you have to stay in the walk. Let me address that for a second, okay? So many times people start out following, and somewhere along the way they start looking off and they kind of wander off the path. And all of a sudden they're not following God anymore. They're kind of off over here doing their own thing, and God's over there. Intentionally walking means I intentionally stay behind God and follow after Him. I don't do my own thing. I do God's thing. And if I'm going to experience that closer walk with Him, I've got to make that physical choice. And after I make that physical choice to follow, I've got to intentionally go after Him. Now, I want to tell you something. Following God, I want to give you the whole gambit here, okay? Following God goes against the grain of humanity. Following God goes against your own nature. Because my nature, your nature, is a fallen nature. You realize that, right? We're all products of a fallen nature. We're all products of Adam and Eve and the fall of Adam and Eve. Here we are today, a fallen nature. And if you say, I'm going to follow God, I'm going to step out, have courage and follow after him and obey him and do what he says for me to do, I'll assure you along the way, you're going to have great courage to face up to what comes against you. Because if you go for the will of God and you go against your own will and the will of the world, sometimes that walk gets pretty tough. What I'm saying to you is with Jesus, I think about Jesus in the garden on the eve of his crucifixion. Think about that for a second. Jesus came to a point in that crucifixion scene, and it's real stuff. I'm not saying scene as though it was a movie. He came to that crucifixion scene. He's about to be arrested and carried to the house of Caiaphas, and eventually through all those trials and all the things that took place that night, and the next day they're going to crucify him. The next day they're going to kill the Son of God. And as he's going for that, he knows it lies ahead. See, Jesus Christ knows everything, and here's, I want to let you know this, I think he knows where you are right now. You say, I don't believe that. Well, I'm sorry. We can differ, I suppose, but I believe the Bible teaches me that he's omniscient, omnipresent. He's here. He knows where I am. I'm here today because I've obeyed God to be here. Well, does that mean some people are disobedient? That means some people are disobedient. I'll get calls about that next week. But when you follow after God, you go against the grain of your nature. And if you go against the grain of your nature, you have to come to the place where Jesus did. So I'll never be like Jesus. I will someday. Because someday I will see him and behold him and I shall be like him because of the blood of the cross. But listen, here's the thing. In the garden that night when Jesus prayed, you remember that prayer, don't you? I bet you could say it with me. Not my will, but yours be done, Father. That's what Jesus said. Knowing that the cross, knowing exactly what was about to happen, knowing every pain and every discomfort he would feel, he still chose to intentionally walk with the Father, go to the cross, and purchase my salvation. Not my will, God, but yours be done. Now, to walk intentionally with God is to live that God-centered life that we've talked about numbers of times. I talked about this last time, and I want to talk about it again because I felt like I rushed through this. I agree 100% with Dr. Blackaby. Remember, I shared this with you last time we met. Blackaby was teaching and experiencing God concerning living a God-centered life. God-centered life versus a self-centered life. To be God-centered, and I'm just reading Blackaby's words, to be God-centered is to move from what you can do for God and coming and saying, God, what can I do for the kingdom? Not God, what you can do for me, but what can I do for you? That's being God-centered. That's setting self aside. The things I do and accomplish, no matter over, they don't matter over time, but listen, the kingdom of God matters. So I choose to walk after him and follow him. That's what intentional walking looks like. Intentional walking chooses to allow God to take the initiative and you follow after him and his way. While responding to him in faith, you completely trust and obey him along the way. That's intentional walking. Now, let's get some new stuff. What about intentional commitment? So now how in the world are you going to twist that? Hold on. Let me perfectly state the truth about me to you. I want to be perfectly honest with you and say this to you. For me or for you, whether you want to admit it or not, I'm just going to admit it to you publicly. To intentionally go against self and what I want and commit yourself or me commit myself to a life that's following after God intentionally will require great intentionality on your part. You'll have to decide you're going to and do it. You say, well, how many ways can you say that? I'll think of some more before I'm done here. You know what came to my mind the other day when I was thinking about this message and thinking about this intentional commitment and how important it is we intentionally commit ourselves to the Lord and how intentionally we have to walk with him every day. I was thinking about those words to a song. The song you'll know, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. It's kind of an old song. It was written in 1757. And we sing it from time to time at church. And I thought about the words. The guy who wrote that song was a guy named Robert Robinson. He died somewhere in the late 1700s. But Robinson wrote this: "Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it." Some of you are singing the song now. "Prone to leave the God I love." Those words are from that old song. They're not exactly that way in Scripture. But let me tell you something. Robinson hits a nail on the head, because while the Bible may not say, "I'm prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it," that's exactly what happens in our lives. We are prone to wonder. Why? Because we're a fallen nature. Prone to wonder and leave the God we love. Prone to wonder and leave the God who loves us. And listen, it's such a familiar thing in the Bible. Israel, how many times did they wander away from God? There was an old boy named Jonah. Remember him? He kind of wandered away from God, and God got his attention. I would imagine that some of us in this very building today have wandered away from God. We're kind of like Jonah. We're in the belly of the fish. We need to get out of here. I would submit to you the way out is to intentionally decide, "I'm going to follow God." And then do everything you can to follow after him. Let me share with you four verses of Scripture. I may get hung up here, and if I do, I don't apologize. It's just God thing. Let me share four verses of Scripture with you. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6. You don't have to look it up. I bet it'll be up in a minute. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned," this is Isaiah, "we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." He laid on Jesus Christ the iniquity of all of our misgivings and all the ways we'd follow after other things. God laid that upon the shoulders of Jesus Christ, and he died that you and I, the sheep who have gone astray, can come home. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Hosea chapter 11. We're doing Hosea on Wednesday night. We do that before long. We're doing a minor prophet study on Wednesday night. Hosea chapter 11, verse 7. "My people," I want to say Texans. I want to say Walker Countyanites or whatever we are. I want to say that Texans, Americans, citizens of the world. Hosea 11 says, "My people." Put that in there. Texans, Americans, Huntsvilleites, Walker Countyans, whatever we are. "My people are bent on backsliding." When I was a kid growing up in the church out in Oakhurst, this messes the cameraman up real bad. When I was a kid growing up in the church in Oakhurst, we had all kinds of strange services. So I grew up on the other side of the tracks. We weren't refined. I remember having foot washing services. Any of y'all ever been in one of those? We ought to have one. Foot washing services. But let me tell you something. Every once in a while, my daddy was doing the preaching, and my daddy would preach a sermon directed to the backsliders. And people say, "Well, that's not a biblical word." My soul, look at there in the book of Hosea. God is speaking to Hosea, to the people, and he says to them, "We got a problem, and the problem we have is my people are bent on backsliding. My people are bent on walking little ways and stepping back. My people are bent on going a little distance and then say, my people will go with me till the going gets tough. And then we stop. My people are bent on backsliding from me. Though they call to the Most High, none at all exalt him." Parenthetical sermon, okay? This gets me in trouble sometimes. Backsliding is a biblical term. It happens in the lives of people. You ever been backslidden? Yeah, I have. Maybe a bit of time or two last week I was. But I mean, sometimes we just get away from where God wants us to be. And we're in that backslidden condition that Hosea is talking about there. But I want you to notice the second thing Hosea says in that little sentence of Scripture, two sentences. "My people are bent on backsliding from me, though they call the Most High, none exalt him." Cooksey theology. You don't have to believe this. That's fine. You can be wrong. I think the presence of God is going to be felt more in the lives of people who obey him. And when they call out his name, they praise him. Just to run along and get in a hole all of a sudden and call God. You ever done that? That's not it. Now, I've never seen a time that God doesn't rescue the fallen and care for the perishing. Another old song. But I want to tell you something. I believe that we'll experience the caring hand of God. We'll experience the rescuing hand of God so much more if we truly exalt the name of God. Amen. And the way to exalt the name of God is not backslide, stay slid forward. Stay right there with God. And as you walk with him, praise him and worship him, and when you fall into the hole, when you get in the bad place, when you get in the ditch and you get stuck, call out on the Most High and exalt his name. Don't call out on him because you just know he can get you out of it. Y'all remember the old TV show, Jeannie? I love Jeannie. You remember that? They found her in a lamp. God ain't no genie, okay? Oh, God can't do the things genies do? Yeah, oh, God can do a whole lot more than those imaginary creatures can do. But he doesn't live in a lamp. God is not something, someone that we leave let on a shelf sometime and reach to get him when times get rough. So many people get in a backslidden condition and they kind of stay in that backslidden condition and they kind of get like a corn on the side of your toe. They're just tough. Don't need much, don't want much until I get in trouble. When I get in trouble, well, I want to slide forward real quick. I'm backslidden, but I want to slide forward. And sliding forward, I want to choose to follow after God. You'll do so much better in those situations of backsliding if you call out to God and honor him. Jeremiah 17:9. I only got a couple more of these. Jeremiah 17:9, talking about you being intentional in your commitment to God. Staying committed to God. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart, I just want to look around before I ask this question. Is there anybody here that doesn't have a heart? One guy raised his hand and put it down right quick. His wife probably told him that this morning. You don't have no heart. Every one of us have a heart. It's the center of who we are. It's emitting the beat that makes our heart beat right now. And I've been with guys here lately that have had to have a little ablation to kind of burn off one of those nodes that's acting up a little bit. Right, Andy? We all got a heart. The heart, Jeremiah said, is deceitful above all things. Now wait a minute. How is that? If I've asked Christ into my heart, and I know that I know Christ and God is my Father and I'm walking after him, how is it that the heart is deceitful? Because the human heart is fallen. It's fallen. It's of a fallen nature. And because of that fallen nature, our tendency is like Hosea said, we have a bent to backsliding, we have a bent not to follow. The heart is a deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I got an answer to that. You know who can know the heart? The creator of the heart, God. God can know our heart. And therefore, because he knows our heart, knows the innermost being of who we are, you follow? Then we ought to follow him. We ought to intentionally choose to follow after him and intentionally choose to commit ourselves to him. One more verse in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard. Look at those four words, lest we drift away. What in the world does that mean? Have you ever, any of you here ever floated down a river on an inner tube? Have you ever cussed because you did that? I remember going to rivers and we're going to float down a river and there's no current. And so basically what you do is paddle for 10 miles down the river. Then I remember other times when the river would be up and you get in the water, and let me tell you, you better be ready when you get in the water because you're going, there's a current. But here's the thing. Even when there's a current and you're going down the river and you're doing what you want to do, you got to be careful where you go. Because you can get yourself in a mountain. I remember a place on the river over near New Braunfels called Waco Falls. Any of y'all ever been down Waco Falls? You can go to the good side, which is easy, or you can be brave and go to the other side. The good side that's easiest for me is where you get out and walk around those falls. One time I messed around, not paying attention to what I was doing, and drifted over to the bad side. It's bad. It's really bad. In fact, my life flashed before me, Mr. Jim, and all I saw wasn't good. As it flashed before my eyes, I'm going down this bad spot. I was drifting. I drifted over into this bad place of my life and in that river. And there I was going down the worst thing I could possibly go down. Hebrews 2:1 says that we are bent that way. We have a tendency that way. We instead of following after the things that we know to be right, we have this tendency to drift. So it's the same way with human nature. It's the fact that we drift from time to time. We kind of turn to our own way. We decide, hey, I don't really ever get up one morning and say, you know, I think I'll backslide today. Satan just does it. And one day you wake up and you go, man, I am so far from God. You have to be intentional about your walk with him. You have to be intentional about your commitment to him and make a fresh commitment. You know, I find myself a lot of times at night laying down in the bed. I read my Bible for a period of time, and I'm usually tired and I'm ready to go to sleep. Before I go to sleep, I say, Lord, clean me up one more time. You say, well, boy, you must be really be bad in the daytime. I probably am. I don't know all of it, but I just say, God, clean me up. Because I know that my heart is turned toward iniquity sometimes. My fallen nature wants to go wrong and contrary to God. We have to realize the iniquity of our heart, human heart, and that each of us have a tendency to drift away from God. And our tendency to turn away from God is to turn to the world. So to intentionally commit yourself to walk with God means that you'll have to go against the grain of your own tendencies, of the nature that's in your being. And you have to go against the beckoning call of the world and intentionally change lanes and follow after God. Get behind him and follow him. As Robinson correctly wrote so many years ago in that old song, Prone to Wonder. So we have to intentionally commit to walk with God. That brings me to probably my last point for today. This last point is a little confusing. So I'm confused already. Then you're really going to be confused about this. Intentional service. What does that mean? Look back at verse 14 of the text we started with. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him. What does that mean, to serve the Lord? Serving God comes to us because if we commit our life to Christ and commit our life to God, in giving my all to God and giving my all to Christ and surrendering my way for his way, it's saying to God, you alone matter in my life. So that means if you commit yourself to Christ, you intentionally decide, I'm going to walk behind him. I'm going to be intentional. I'm going to have courage in my heart. I'm going to do this. Then you must intentionally have some service about you. Joshua said, fear the Lord and serve him. It's saying, God, you matter most in my life. Friends, the true avenue that will lead you to real happiness in life is serving God. I've said this a lot of times before, and I'm going to say it again, and I've said it to some of you in my office. I've said it to some of you in my pickup. I've said it to some of you in the foyer out here. I've said it to some of you in teaching and preaching. Listen, the very best days of your life, I don't care who you are, I don't care where you've been or what you're doing, the very best days of your life, I challenge you to look back. When things get rough, look back. Don't go back, just look back. And when you look back, you'll see the greatest days of your life are the days when you're serving God. Do you believe that? Yes. Sounds like about a quarter of y'all do. If you believe that, then you got to understand how important it is that we intentionally walk with God, that we intentionally have courage to follow after him. and do the things that he says for us to do. And remember, it's an intentional thing. You know, I wish it was this way. I wish God would just reach down, pluck us out, and we'd clean from now on. I've discovered it ain't that way. I've discovered I have to be intentional in what I do. I have to be intentional in my walk, intentional in my courage, intentional in my service to God. And as I serve him, if I serve him and stay in the serving, then I don't drift away. I don't backslide. Vicki and I talked to her this morning about this, and she couldn't remember, because I sure can't. We were in Tennessee one time on vacation, and we were driving in a little mountain range area there, and we came into this town that on the outskirts of town, I think it's the Tennessee River that runs through there, and it has a pretty enormous fall after you come out. As you go into this town, you see this fall. We got there into town, and we're driving along the main road that kind of runs along the lake shore that's now made by this river, and we stopped in this little park out area. And we got out, and we started just kind of looking around and reading and throwing rocks and doing all kinds of stuff. And I saw this plaque over there, so I was drawn to read this thing. I figured it had something to do with history. And it turned out that two very prominent citizens in that little town had fished that lake created on the Tennessee River forever. And one day, they got out, and they were fishing, and they were catching fish, and they were talking and just enjoying themselves in the day, and they didn't realize they had passed beyond the buoys that warned boaters and fishermen, hey, the falls are ahead. By the time they realized they had gone so far, the plaque said that they found their bodies some 4 or 5 days later. They'd been tumbling under the rocks of that fall on the bottom of that river for days. What got them? Drifting. And friends, let me tell you something. Drifting on your part will get you in trouble. It can cost you everything. Be intentional as you serve him. Father, I love you. God, I thank you so much for this day. I thank you for your word. I thank you, God, for just being here today, Lord. Just speaking through me. And Father, I thank you that there's so much more to be said. But God, I thank you for the privilege that's been mine today. And God, today I know that I speak to a large group of people. And I know, God, that in this place there are those who had not been very intentional about following after you. They've not had courage. They've not followed the way they should. And so, Father, I pray that right now you would move among us. That you move in the hearts and lives of men and women in this place, God. Maybe they're distanced for something in their life. Maybe they're distanced because they don't have to make a decision, God, that you want them to make. Lord, I just pray that whatever that is, you'd point out to this your people. And Lord, those that you're speaking to might intentionally move, might intentionally do what you've said to do, might intentionally have courage to do that. Even though the hour's late, Lord, even though the weather's different, God, even though I pray that those to whom you speak will intentionally make that step to draw closer to you. We want a closer walk. Help us, God, to be intentional. Lord, there are those in this building you've spoken to make decisions for you. Come be a part of this church, to follow believers' baptism, Lord, to make a public profession of our faith. God, whatever you have said, help us, God, to be an intentional bunch. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Would you stand with me all over this building as we stand together? Would you come as God leads you? Myself and the staff are here. Come if God leads you to do so.